earth moved.
All right. It's not enviable to follow Francis Chan, but he said something. I watched this a few weeks ago, he said something that really struck me. And so I'm going to base the message off that one thing, Mary and Martha. So it's kind of a two-part message today. I'll give about 23 minutes of, it's not a deep teaching, it's a kind of overview of the Mary-Martha passage, and then Nathaniel's going to come up and share something. What I'd like to do is, if you can just look in your Bibles at Luke 10, and just see how does the Mary-Martha story fit in context with Luke 10. Do you just see the headings that you have there? I've got Jesus sends out the 72, that's the way Luke 10 starts, and then Parable of the Good Samaritan, and then there's Mary and Martha. So how does that fit together? You know, in 3 weeks, I'll be going to Uganda, and my buddy Daryl, he's a pastor in Austin, he and I are leading a pastor's conference for about 250 Ugandan pastors, and these Ugandans don't go to seminary. They don't have commentaries. Almost all of them don't even have study Bibles or anything like that. So they've said, would you please come and just give us the basics? What's the difference between Luke's gospel? How does that differ from Matthew's gospel? How does it differ from John's? So we're doing some of that. And then they say, how does a pastor take God's word and apply it to the people, people's issues? And so that's what we're going there for. And they said there's two issues. This is what Daryl was telling me. Two issues that they've insisted that we help them with. And one is demon possession. And the other is a guy who has five wives. And so Daryl says he'll take demon possession. I'm like, dude, you always take the easy ones. All right, come on. All right, he says, well, you do marriage counseling. I was like, this is marriage counseling on steroids. All right. So these pastors also said, when you help us, when you come to teach us, would you just let us know how does one part of a gospel fit in with the other part? So that kind of spurred me to kind of just get a forest view here. And Luke 10, Jesus sends out the 72. He's already sent out the 12 to the tribes of Israel. All right, Jesus is the Savior of the Jews. Now he sends out the 70, representative of 70 nations, the world. Jesus is the Savior of the world. All right, and they come back and they say in verse, I think it's 20, 17, they returned with joy saying, hey, the demons submitted to us. This ministry was amazing. All right, that's what they say. And Jesus reframes them. He refocuses them. And he says, do not, verse 20, do not rejoice that the Spirit submitted to you. But, here's what you can rejoice in. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice that you're a child of God. That's, you have a relationship with God the Father. That's going to be the same message that Mary and Martha get, isn't it? Martha's doing all this ministry and Jesus is going to say, wait. Refocus yourself on relationship. So, yes, you're a child of God. Yes, your names are written in heaven. You are sealed in God's love. And then Luke 10:27 gives us what the child of God's heart is. There's two commands for us. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. All right? And so Jesus starts with that second one. He gives us the first lesson, the lesson of the Good Samaritan. All right, the ministry. Christians are to be people who are compassionate. We meet the needs of those in our community and world. All right, love your neighbor. That's followed by love of God. All right, lesson of Mary and Martha. There's one thing that characterizes a Christian, his love and her love for God. And so that's how this chapter fits together. The Good Samaritan says, yes, Christians, go out, do ministry, be a help, be compassionate in the world. But before you go out and do that, get your life right. Get the priorities right. You are a child of God. That's what you're rejoicing. Your relationship as God's child. And we have a positive example, Mary. And then we're going to get a negative example, Martha, the distracted disciple. She's focusing on the relationship like the 70 did. Oh, look what the demons did when we were out ministering. And Jesus says, no. Be Mary. All right? So we're focusing on that. We need that one best thing that Jesus talks about. You and I need this. I need this year. So let's look at this. Luke 10:38. The one thing we need is to listen. Listen to Jesus' word. Luke 10:38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with so much serving. The NIV says she was distracted with all the preparations that had to be made. Now, tomorrow's first day of 2018. It's unbelievable. Think back on 2017 for a second. All right? Did you have a Martha 2017 or did you have a Mary 2017? Do you look back and say, yeah, I'm really satisfied with the way, the relationship I had with the Lord. I had the time, had a seat time in the Word. That was a good Mary, 2017. All right? Or was it more of a Martha? Man, it was a distracted year. All right? I want 2018 to be a little different. I don't want it to be a Martha 2018. This is not a guilt message, all right? We could all do better at being Marys. All right? But we are sitting on the cusp of a new year here, and it's a great time to do what Jesus says. One thing. Let's prioritize the one thing. All right? It's not like City Slickers. Remember Curly telling Billy Crystal? Billy Crystal, the secret of life is one thing. And the one thing is, and then he dies. Billy Crystal's like, wait, what's the one thing? All right, tell me. Well, Jesus is not going to leave us. He's going to tell us what that one thing is, all right? Earlier this year, I just coincidentally read a book called One Word That Will Change Your Life. Wow, what a promise, all right? What's that one word? All right. Basically, it says simplify your life. So what do you want to accomplish? What's a focus? And boil it down to one word. And then every day, focus on that one word, and you will accomplish that thing that year. All right? One word. All right? That's what Jesus really is saying here. It's not a complicated message. Focus on one thing, one word. One thing is best. And Jesus says, sit at my feet and listen to me. That's what he's going to say. I can do that this year. You can do that this year. We can make that our focus for this year. So before we get too negative on Martha, let's imagine her situation. Let's see if you're a Martha or a Mary. If you knew that Jesus was coming to your home today, tonight, for dinner, would you leave church, rush home, and do what? Would you start vacuuming? All right. Whip up a casserole, put it in there. All right, Jesus is coming. I'm ready for him. That's a Martha. All right. Or, like Mary, would you go home, open your Bible to Isaiah, and start jotting down some questions about Messiah that you want to ask Jesus. All right? That's a Mary. Mary's favorite verse, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, Jesus. Martha's favorite verse, faith without works is dead. All right? For Mary, if you want to get her a Christmas present, you get her Spurgeon's Treasury of David's Commentary on the Psalms. For Martha, get her a new vacuum. She's going to love you. All right? Ladies, let's make this real. If your husband came home at lunchtime, said, honey, I met Jesus today, and I've invited him to the home for lunch. In fact, he's out on the front porch. Is that okay? You'd say, awesome, Jesus is here. Well, he's got 12 guys with him, too. All right? They're all with him. Okay, so we got 13 here for a spontaneous lunch. Well, there's a few others who are kind of straggling. Really, there's 20. All right? Ladies, how would you feel about your husband right at that moment? All right, you'd be feeling like, why didn't you just text me, right? Tell me, give me a little notice, all right? Would you go into Martha mode? Clean, tidy, all right, we got 20 people here. Start making something for lunch. Or would you get into Mary mode? All right, hey, everybody come on in. All right, let's sit down, let's fellowship a little bit. All right, so Martha, she gets into Martha mode. And that seems reasonable. She's cleaning, she's preparing. Let's see how Jesus responds to Martha mode. All right. The house is called Martha's home. All right. Martha's the one who says, Jesus, come into my home. All right. Apparently the parents have deceased. They have a little brother named Lazarus, don't they? All right. He must be so young that he's not brought into the equation. The parents and the inheritance leave the house to Martha. All right. She's the able older sister. She's the one to get things done. And Martha has a sister named Mary. And notice these contrasts in the sisters. While Martha is being hostess, Mary's doing something else. She's seated herself at Jesus' feet. It appears Jesus is doing a little, maybe he's on the front porch, he's doing a little Bible study with his, all those 20 people are with him, and Mary's joined into that Bible study. And there you can see Martha scurrying around, trying to prepare everything. Mary's at Jesus' feet, listening to him teach. Jesus never rebukes Mary for just sitting and not serving, for just sitting at his feet. And I can just picture Martha at the kitchen window, all right, try to get her sister's attention. Mary, 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 come on, all right? Come peel some carrots. Do something to help me, all right? And sibling rivalry raises its ugly head. Anyone have a lazy brother? Don't raise your hand, all right? A lazy sister, all right? And you feel like, I'm always the one doing everything, all right? My brother, my sister, not doing anything. Well, that's kind of what's happening here with Mary and Martha. So notice the contrast between here. Mary sitting in a Bible study. Martha distracted by all the preparations. And this word distracted is a great word. It actually means dragged down, all right? Martha, you're dragged down by all these preparations you're trying to do, right? All those burdens. You ever feel like that's your life sometimes? Distracted, burden, life dragging you down? Hey, Jesus says his burden is light. It's easy to be with Jesus. It's supposed to be. Something's wrong here in Martha's relationship with Jesus. So Martha is distracted from what? This hurts a little bit. Martha is distracted from Jesus. All right? The very reason Jesus came to her house was not for lunch. It was to be with Martha. Right? Jesus came to be with her. And Martha is distracted by what? Martha is not in blatant sin here, is she? No, she's distracted from Jesus because of her Christian ministry. Her service to Jesus distracts her from time with Jesus. Can that happen to us? Oh, yeah. So Martha gets more and more upset with her sister, and she breaks into Jesus' Bible study, and she gives Jesus a little piece of her mind. I'm going to shame my little sister. Here's point two. The one thing we don't need, we do not need, telling Jesus what to do. Verse 40. And Martha went up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care? I can just see it. Lord, do you not care? You can just see the attitude she's given, all right? That my sister has left me to serve all alone. Tell her to help me. Now we're, again, meant to see the contrast here. Mary, what's she doing? At Jesus' feet. Martha, in Jesus' face, all right? Mary, listening to the Lord. Martha, telling the Lord what to do, all right? And this happens to us all. We get into a problem in our spiritual life. When we start losing our heart toward Jesus, we stop listening to Jesus. And we start telling him what to do. Jesus, fix my boyfriend. Jesus, fix my finances. Jesus, fix my parents. Jesus, fix my boss. Jesus, fix my health. Jesus, fix my grades. Oh, yeah, those are our prayers, all right? We're telling Jesus exactly what he should do for us. And when Jesus doesn't jump through our little hoops, all right, we start to become angry and accusing, all right? Jesus, you don't care, all right? How can we accuse Jesus of not caring? He suffered crucifixion for us, all right? Jesus cares for us. Martha should have done what? She has the spiritual gift of serving, obviously. What she should have done with that spiritual gift of serving? Hey, Peter, I brought you a chair, all right? You're a weary old fisherman, all right? Sit down here. All right, she should be serving those, you know, graciously. Instead, she's out there complaining. I'm doing all the work around here, right? Jesus, you don't care. But Jesus did not come to Martha's house because he liked her cooking. He did not come to Martha's house because she was such a good cook or kept it clean. He came to her home because of her. Ladies, did you marry your husband because of what he could do? All right, you saw him cutting the grass and you said, oh, man, I got to be with that guy, all right? Guys, did you marry your wife because she vacuumed so wonderfully, all right? Or you walked into your girlfriend's apartment and said, wow, this is clean. I got to be with this woman forever, all right? No, Carol and I have been married 27 years, all right? She's a great vacuumer. She makes a great pasta sauce, all right? She balances our checkbook, which I'm very grateful for, all right? But that's not why we got married. We got married so we can look in each other's eyes, take walks, hold hands, just be together. You, Christian, are Jesus' bride. He didn't save you for what you could do for him. He saved you to be with you, all right? Now, Martha wants to correct Jesus, and Jesus is going to turn around and correct Martha. Last point here. Our necessity, our one necessity, is to be with Jesus in his word. Luke 10:41. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha. Or, I don't know, how do you think he says that? Martha, kind of sad. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. And Martha, Mary has chosen the good portion. It's not going to be taken from her. That word good portion, it's actually good. It's like a cut of meat or something like that. If you're at Thanksgiving table, all the turkey sliced up and it's on this big tray and it's being passed around the table, and your dad says to you, before anybody else gets to touch it, you, son, choose your best piece. You get the first choice, all right? And you choose that best part. All of it's good, but you get that best part, all right? That's that same word. Jesus is saying, hey, there's a lot of good things that you're doing, Martha, but one thing is the best, and that's what Mary's chosen. So Jesus here is grieved. He's lost that person that he loves, Martha, all right? Martha, the worries of life have choked out your love for me. All right? And Jesus says only one thing is necessary. Not lunch. Not a clean home. It's being with me. So if I come over to your home for a visit and you sit me down in your living room and you say, oh, I don't have any food for you. You stay here. Let me run out to the store. I'll get some chips and salsa and I'll be right back. All right? What would I think? Why? I didn't come over for that. Or if you set me down in your living room and then you say, oh, I'm sorry, the house is such a mess. And you get out the vacuum while I'm sitting there, you're dusting and you're doing all this stuff. What would I say to you? Hey, I didn't come over because I wanted to see a clean house. I came over for you. Now, Carol and I had a friend like this in Dallas. We'd go over to this couple's house and have a great meal together. And after dinner, the husband and Carol and I would go and sit in the living room. And the wife would go into full-blown clean mode, all right? She wouldn't let anybody else help her do the dishes or anything. She took all the dishes off. She cleaned the dining room table and got everything ordered and cleaned and polished. It took about an hour, all right? Now, we liked the husband. He was a nice guy to chat with. But we wanted to say to her, we didn't come over because we liked your clean home. We didn't come over just to talk to your husband. We came over for you, all right? And we're left with the feeling, wow, are the dishes more important than us, all right? And it kind of left us a little odd. Isn't that what Jesus is saying? Exactly the same thing to Martha and to us. Martha, I didn't come over for the serving that you can do for me. I didn't come over for your food. I didn't come over for the clean house. I came for you. There's only one thing necessary. You, all right? So, 2018, those are the words Jesus is speaking to us today. One thing is priority in your life. Relationship with Jesus. Yes, we need to serve. Yes, you and I are called to be a blessing. That's why the Good Samaritan comes prior to this. All right, we're called to go do this. But before we go out and do the ministry, we've got to have our heart right. We've got to have our priority right, our relationship right. All right. So often we prioritize serving and ministry, and we've lost that relationship with Christ. Jesus is saying that first love. Jesus knows what it's like to have angels feed him in the wilderness. All right? He's not impressed with your cooking, Martha. All right? Or your cleanness. He can have angels do whatever he wants. All right? The Holy Spirit can do every ministry. He's not impressed with our ministries. We get to serve with him. All right? In fact, Jesus, this really struck me this week, Jesus never asked Martha for a clean home or for lunch. You don't see Jesus in this passage saying, Jesus, where's that food? I'm starving. Like our kids do. Right? That's not Jesus. Jesus never says, Martha, move some of these magazines out of the way. I want to sit here. It's so unclean around here. No. Oh, this really hurt. This like reached into me. All right. The things that we care so much about, Jesus doesn't even seem to notice. All right. That ministry that Martha's out doing, Jesus doesn't even notice. All right, the one thing Jesus wants is you. So as we approach 2018, you and I can commit to this. Lord, I'm going to do that one best thing. I'm going to be with you in your word. Now, I was getting my hair cut recently, just right before Christmas. And so this girl was cutting my hair. I thought I'd just see, hey, I'll start a spiritual conversation and see if it goes anywhere. Never know. So I said, hey, are you going to church on Christmas Day? And she said, oh, yeah, I go to church every Sunday. I'm going to go to church on Christmas. Oh, great. And I said, well, do you read your Bible? And she said, oh, yeah, yeah, I've tried. I start these reading plans. And she said, I read Genesis, and then I stop in Leviticus. And then I read Genesis again, and I stop in Leviticus. And I read Genesis again. This is literally what she says to me. And then I stop in Leviticus again. And she said, I really know Genesis pretty well. And then she says, you know, did you ever notice this about the Garden of Eden, Bubba? You know, that one question about going to church led to a Bible study while I'm getting my haircut about Genesis. It was awesome. All right. And then she says, hey, have you ever read the whole Bible? And I said, well, a few times, not a lot. And she says, how do you keep interested and keep going with it? It's really kind of the crux here. How do we keep going? Everybody has that experience about stopping. I said, yeah, there are days when, you know, I just got to force myself, or parts of Scripture don't really, I'm not, you know, all those listed names, all right? I'm like anybody. It gets a little old. But I thought, well, it reminds me that my name's written in the book of life, all right? Well, we can kind of find parallels. But I told her, what keeps me going, the one thing is that the Bible is alive. It is a living word. That means every time I read it, it's new to me, all right? And that happens all the time. I was reading 1 Samuel 3 recently, or 3 months ago, and that where we got a 10-year-old, 11-year-old Samuel, and the Lord's calling to him. He says, this is the way Samuel responds. Middle schoolers, listen up. This is a middle schooler, all right? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And it was like, God's word's alive. It just jumped right into my spirit. It's like, that is not the way I approach Scripture. I need to do what this middle schooler does, all right? Middle schoolers, do not let anybody look down on you for your youth. Set an example, all right? And I was like, that's the way I want to start out. So a lot of times when I'm reading the Bible, I'll say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. You know what? If you have a will and a willing heart, that will happen to you. God's word promises four things every time you read it. It's going to teach you something that you didn't know, right? Oh, I didn't know that about myself or God or others or whatnot. It's going to correct you if you don't quite know where you're going. It's going to correct you, get you on the right path. If you're doing something wrong, it's going to rebuke you. And if you want to be trained to be righteous, to be godly, to be like Jesus, it's going to do that. So you want that when you read the word? God will give that to you, all right? This year I was listening to the chronological Bible every day. It takes between 3 minutes and 15 minutes, depends on that day, all right? Now, I have outside chores and I have inside chores. My inside chore of the house is dishwasher. I tend to get up first. This is my routine, all right? Put the coffee on, put my earbuds in, I'm listening to the chronological Bible while I empty the dishwasher, all right? I'm spiritually doing what Mary does, sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know what the good thing is? It takes about the same amount of time to listen to that day's chronological Bible as it does to empty the dishwasher. That's a win-win right there, all right? I've done my chore, and I've done my Bible study, all right? So I'm listening to this about 2 weeks ago, 1 Corinthians 14. And I'm trying to listen actively. And 1 Corinthians 14 begins, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. Now, I've read 1 Corinthians 14 a lot. I've even preached it, all right? But I haven't. That was like a neon sign flashing out to me. And I had to apologize to the Lord. Lord, I have never eagerly desired the spiritual gifts, especially not prophecy. So I'm just telling you, my one thing that I'm doing this year is to eagerly desire every day the gift of prophecy. I don't even know what that entails fully, all right? But that's my one thing, all right? My little thing to do this year. Peter Marshall, the great Scottish preacher, former Senate chaplain back in the 50s, he said, what would happen if all of us agreed to read one gospel and then we would stop reading when the Bible told us to go do something? And we could not start reading the Bible again until we actually went out and did that one thing. And then we could start reading again, until we had obeyed God's word. Let's be very clear. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, but hearers of Jesus' word become doers of Jesus' word. You're Mary first. Excuse me, don't know where that came from. You're Mary first, and then you're the Good Samaritan. That's where the sequence comes, all right? So
Here's
and then doers of God's word. So there are many good things you can prioritize this year. But we get distracted by so many things. In fact, by definition, white noise is a frequency that contains every frequency. And because it contains every frequency, we can't hear one particular frequency in the white noise, especially that still, small voice of God. The busyness of our lives can be the greatest spiritual impediment that we face, can't it? We're so busy that we listen, that we miss the still, small voice of God. So, close down here. Let me invite you to do what Jesus says, that one thing, to do what Mary did. She chose the better part. There's many good things. Let's prioritize one. Take a few minutes every day. Still time, quiet time, and just sit at Jesus' feet, all right, and listen to his word. Let's do that together. I'll pray, and then the thing is going to come up. Oh, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for just a reminder so clear on what Martha's doing, which is good, but it's distracted, and what Mary's doing, the best thing. Lord, as we start a new year, may we all resolve, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, may we sit at your feet, Lord, and just renew our relationship with you, and out of that will flow all kinds of service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Craig, for that encouragement. Man, you know, I've read that story many times. I've taught on it many times. But just hearing it again, it's fresh, it's new, because God's word is alive and it impacts you. And, you know, one thing that I thought of as we were studying that passage is that it's amazing that Luke doesn't really tell you what happens. He doesn't finish the story. He doesn't tell you how Martha responds to Jesus. He leaves you hanging. And I think the reason why he leaves us hanging is because he wants us to put ourselves in Martha's shoes and to answer for ourselves, how are we going to respond to what Jesus has said? And that's the question that's before us today. How are we going to respond? And,